Greetings in Christ, I'm Pastor Hopkins from the First Lutheran Church of Boston. The New Testament reading for today is from Luke 20, 19 to 44. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on Jesus at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies, who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly, and show no partiality, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not?" But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" They said, "Caesar's." He said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were not able, in the presence of the people, to catch him in what he said, but marveling at his answer, they became silent. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry, and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die any more, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For they no longer dared to ask him any question. But he said to them, "How can they say that the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' David thus calls him Lord. So how is he his son? O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God." In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Now, our gospel text today picks up after Jesus had told the parable of the wicked tenants. In that parable, he warned against the judgment that would come upon the scribes, chief priests, elders, and anyone that would reject the Messiah. Now, while they were insincere, they weren't dull boys. They understood that this was a story that had been told about them. Having no sincerity in themselves, they kept their eyes on Jesus and sent spies who pretended to be sincere so they could trap him. They can be clever too. They had learned a lesson from their previous encounter with Jesus, and they were going to try and apply it. But it was the wrong lesson. They should have learned that rejecting Jesus was bringing God's judgment on them. But what they took away instead was a rhetorical move that they would now to try and use to trap Jesus. Just as Jesus had shown them where their allegiances were compromised, now they wanted to make him pick. A, Jesus could reject paying tribute to Caesar as unlawful. This was a populist move, guaranteed to win approval. But it would also mean getting dragged before Roman authorities ahead of schedule. Or, B, Jesus could declare that the tribute was perfectly lawful, and therefore reaffirm subjectivity to Rome. And this might also cause some to say that Jesus affirmed the supposed divinity of Tiberius Caesar, whose inscription declared that Caesar was the son of, quote, the divine Augustus. All of that would guarantee that the people would see Jesus as being compromised and nothing more than controlled opposition. Jesus's simple answer showed them that they didn't understand what they were asking. Of course, Caesar never gets to take for himself what belongs to God, but their question ignored the fact that Caesar also is a creature. Kind of ironically, their question implied a sort of consent to Caesar's claim to divine status, but then again, they themselves would soon declare that they had no king but Caesar. Whatever he says about himself, Caesar was not divine. He belonged to God, and God had chosen to use him at that moment as his own instrument. Though God had frequently raised up rulers to discipline his people, they forgot this fact, because God himself and what he does for them was not really their concern. They were only concerned with their own power and their own authority. And so they became silent because they realized they did not know how to speak. They did not know what to ask or how to ask it. Jesus's real answer to their fake question showed them their own errors. The same thing happened with the Sadducees. They didn't even believe in a resurrection of the dead. Their question to Jesus was meant to make the resurrection look and sound ridiculous. They used Moses' instructions in Genesis 38 to set up the whole situation. But Jesus showed that they were trying to live in a house divided against itself. They didn't actually believe what Moses had said. If they had, it would matter to them that Moses identified God as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and that he did this long after they had died. Thus, if he is their God, then they must be alive in him. There is, in fact, according to the authority they cited, a resurrection. But they didn't really care what Moses said on the topic. It was just a pretense for an insincere question. All these things, for them, for you, these are all still matters of importance. The authority of Jesus, the judgment on those who would reject him, the relationship between church and state, the resurrection of the dead, and of course, whose son is the Christ. All these things matter. As Christians, you are to be meditating on the Word of God, which answers all these questions, and you are to seek those answers sincerely, even if it means learning that you had some things wrong in the past, and then conforming yourself to what God's Word teaches. Then you will be ready when the world comes with its interrogations and its traps, insincere, false pretenses meant to drive a wedge between you and your Lord. Consider with wisdom, the kind given to you in Holy Scripture, what they are really asking. Know the words of Jesus, which shape not only your answers to non-questions, but which also shape your life. Pray for those who would approach Jesus wrongly, that hearing his word, they also would then reply, and with sincerity, "Teacher, you have spoken well." Let us pray. Living God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace to lay hold of your promises and live forever in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you into the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.